Welcome to our second big interview today on Money Life, and I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show Ron Sanchez. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. If you want more information, you're going to go to fiduciarytrust.com. But better yet, if you want to benefit from what Ron's talking about, not just when he's here, but the rest of the time, go find him on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. You will then get a link to Fiduciary Trust Company, fiduciarytrust.com, their website, but to their commentary pages. And that will allow you to see what he's thinking when he's not here. And he hasn't been here for a while. He was here last at the beginning of the year. So I'm pleased to say, Ron Sanchez, welcome back to Money Life.
Great. Thank you, Chuck.
Now, you were here at the beginning of the year. You were here at the good part. You know, the first couple of weeks of January where everybody's going, wow, look at how this market's doing. It's better than anybody could have imagined and expected. And about 2 weeks after you were on, not even 2 weeks after you were on, we got to the end of January and volatility came back in and we saw the market go down. I won't call it a correction because I don't think it's necessarily correct when the market's going down. But we saw a lot of things start to change. Since then, we've seen where rates are going. We've seen volatility not return to those low levels, but normalize at the levels it spiked up to. And there's a lot of concern out there. So right now, are you thinking defensively and you're worried, or are you thinking respite and we've shaken out some of the problems and we're ready for the next leg up?
So I somewhere in between. So we're not playing it defensive, but we're also not playing it aggressive here. And so I like to describe our positioning as leaning in a little bit. And so I'm constructive on risk assets. And so I'm modestly overweight global equities, and I'm underweight fixed income. And I think, as you mentioned about kind of how we've moved from a wonderful environment, not only in 2017, but in January of 2018, then we've seen a lot of volatility. That volatility has persisted, and I'm treading water from a market perspective. So I was up out of the chute. I gave it all back, and I've been up and down ever since, and I've seen a lot of market volatility. And so it's kind of an interesting environment where we're transitioning from 2017, that was a high return, low risk environment, to now where I'm high risk, low return. And we believe that that's a environment that will persist for the balance of the year. But having said that, I think investors and what we're articulating to our clients is you need to appreciate that we're in a new regime from a volatility and inflation and interest rate regime that has persisted for a number of years. We are definitely transitioning from a monetary policy world to a fiscal policy world. And in the first quarter, I've actually experienced policy overdrive. And what I mean by that is that as I move to fiscal policy in January, which is very positive for markets, tax cuts, pro-growth, I then move to worrying about monetary policy in terms of the Fed needs to tighten, the economy is doing well, inflation is starting to move up after being benign for years. I'm starting to see pressure on interest rates. And then I move into March and I worry about trade policy. So I move from pro-growth to pro-U.S., and they are distinctly different. And again, I'm referring to some of the uncertainties regarding trade policy. And then I move into April, and I have foreign policy and concerns about Iran and other issues from a political standpoint that have just created an environment where uncertainty about rates, about inflation, about geopolitical risk, and more importantly, about trade, future trade policy, have created a level of uncertainty, and markets are definitely reflecting that.
Okay. There's a lot in there, and I want to go back and touch on a few points, because as you point out, you were pro-growth to pro-U.S. So right now, you are finding that you'd rather be investing in the U.S.? Did I hear that correctly?
No, pro-growth policies in the U.S.
Okay.
And good global growth abroad. So
okay. I'm trying because I was trying to make sure, as I heard a couple things, where we were from an equity standpoint when you're saying we're in a in a high risk, low return environment. But some of the other things that you had said made me think, wait, he's going to tell me he's investing more overseas and a little happier with foreign. And then I thought, did I just hear him say he's happier with domestic? So am I right that foreign right now is, if you're looking to get better returns without significantly more risk, that you are a little bit overweight foreign as well?
We are. And within the U.S., we're a little bit overweighted small cap. And so the rationale or investment thesis behind small cap is that small cap benefits from pro-growth. And so they benefit from the lower taxes, and they're clearly benefiting from deregulation that is occurring. But they also would benefit if market sentiment shifted to be concerned about pro-U.S. And the dollar was to rise and there were to be trade issues. Small cap is more of a domestic market and doesn't rely on global trade. So there it's one of the few markets where you get a little bit of both, that you're protected as we kind of oscillate from the benefits of pro-growth and concerns about pro-U.S. policy. Also, interest rates, as they move up, small cap has a lot of exposure from a benchmark perspective to regional banks, and clearly banks are going to benefit from a rising interest rate and a better regulatory environment than it's been the case for the last 5 to 6 years.
When you look at the numbers as they're coming out now, how much are you discounting them because everything is being caused because of the fallout from tax reform? And how much do you look at them and say, okay, I'll take them at face value, but I understand that if you artificially increase or inflate numbers today, there will come a point down the line where you got to pay the piper for that, where, hey, suddenly quarter over quarter growth or year over year growth is not looking nearly so good. So are you worried that some of the windfall that we're seeing right now is going to be paid back at some point?
So I think we're paying it back today. And so what's interesting about markets is I'm unchanged so far, right? The S&P is essentially plus or minus 1%. And that's true really of global markets. And so I haven't been compensated from a return standpoint. I'm unchanged, but I have a earnings backdrop that has surpassed our expectations and consensus on the street, and year-over-year earnings are up in the low 20s. But with that backdrop of very, very robust earnings, I haven't seen that translate into a market return, and it's for two reasons. One, markets are more concerned about policy, government policy, versus the economic fundamentals. And so it swayed investors right now to be worried about the uncertainties that I talked to. And two, investors aren't necessarily going to handicap that degree of earnings growth out into 19 and 20. So I think you're seeing that tug of war between government policy from a trade perspective and good economic fundamentals, and a market that is underlining seeing very good earnings growth, but with no meaningful move in stock prices. And so that means that valuations and multiple compression versus the beginning of the year has happened, and I think it's warranted. Investors shouldn't necessarily assume this is the state of affairs in terms of the growth rate, but nonetheless, it is solid, and investors are also starting to discount the fact that rates are moving up and that inflation is moving up, and they're not going to pay the same multiple that we've experienced over the last couple of years. So there's a lot of dynamics that are at play here in a market that's essentially unchanged. But I have different valuations than I had in the beginning of the year. You'll notice most people aren't talking about extreme valuations. I don't have clients asking me anymore, are you worried about valuation? Are you worried about valuation? That was a big question at the end of 17. So a lot of dynamics, a lot of cross currents. And again, anytime you have that level of uncertainty, it's not surprising to me that you have this level of volatility. What we're articulating to clients, though, is that normally volatility is reflective of uncertainty and a rising risk, but we want to be sure that it's not, from our way of thinking, telegraphing something fundamentally wrong with the economy and fundamentally wrong with earnings. I think it's just reflecting an adjustment in higher valuations, an adjustment in the interest rate perspective, and starting to discount a little bit of concerns about the uncertainty as it relates to trade policy.
We talked a little bit about the uncertainty as it involves interest rates. And you said that you are defensive when it comes to rates and you're worried about the rate picture. is the big concern that at some point the bond market is going to react normally? Because it really hasn't reacted normally to a rising rate environment yet, has it?
What do you mean by normal? I mean, we're moving towards normalization.
Well, but you see rates go up, you see bond prices crater, you know, there's been so much demand that the bond market really hasn't suffered. I mean, it's been down for the last quarter, but the bond market really hasn't suffered the sort of tremendous slings and arrows that were expected of it if and when we got to a rising rate environment, and we're in a rising rate environment now.
Understood. And so you're absolutely correct about the movement in bond prices has been orderly, has been slow and gradual, and we expect that to continue. And so I think inflation has bottomed in 2017. I no longer think that we're in an environment of benign inflation that has persisted. I think when you move from monetary policy to fiscal policy, there's more pressure on interest rates. I think when you're later in the cycle, there's more pressure on inflation, and growing deficits also have implications, as the economies from a global perspective are a lot better than they were just 2 years ago. So if you look at interest rates, it's again orderly, slow, moderate rise. But it's interesting to note that rates have doubled since 2 years ago or 24 months ago. We were about a 136 in the middle of 16. But again, those are acutely low interest rates. And so interest rates moving to around 3 to 3.25. And with the prospects that over the next year or two, you'll see it gravitate higher, but not in a disorderly or a spike. And I think if that is the base case, which it is, then I think you could continue to see positive returns for equity. If that's not the case, and we find out that inflation is at the early stages of a surge, and that interest rates are going to follow suit, and that the Federal Reserve is behind the curve, then I think it's more problematic for both bond markets and equity markets.
You know what?
If the path is more slow and moderate, I think it's we navigate that much better from a capital markets perspective.
What I love about this discussion is that we are well into it, and we haven't actually discussed any of the potential risks or potential problems as any of the headline things that have so captivated folks. Is that because, as you're watching this, you know, we could talk politics if we wanted to or felt some compelling need, but whether it's what's happening domestically with policy, what's going on with North Korea or not going on with North Korea, et cetera, that ultimately the market's the market and politics is just something that kind of, you know, makes things frothy or calms things down occasionally, but isn't really going to have much impact long term?
So they certainly have the easy answers. They have immediate implications for markets on a kind of daily volatility. But I do think it's always a challenge. But unless you think there's a dramatic implications from political issues on the economy, I think at the end of the day, markets tend to work through that and reflect both the macro and micro fundamentals. And so, you know, for times, they can reflect, and I don't want to label it as noise, it's not, but other considerations, but ultimately the driver of those outstanding issues are whether you believe it changes the underlying trajectory of global growth and the underlying trajectory of corporate earnings.
Well, Ron, this has been fabulous. Even with a little bit of extended time, I've still run out of time before I've run out of questions. So we talked to you in January. Now we're catching you close to the middle of the year. I hope we'll get a chance to chat with you as the leaves start to turn and we can see where you're at as we head into the home stretch.
Sounds great, Chuck.
Ron Sanchez is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. For more information, it's fiduciarytrust.com. Well, like I said earlier, if you want to make sure that you go straight to Ron's commentaries, then find him on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, and you'll find a link there that will get you to the commentary page at fiduciarytrust.com. All right, we're just about done with the Monday, May the 21st edition of Money Life. But I'll tell you what's coming tomorrow and the rest of the week before we send you home right after this message. Stay tuned. This is Money Life.